For more than 25 years, Eugene Blacknell has been coping with diabetes.
Hey there, Mr. Blacknell. How are you?
How you doing? Fine, you?
Good. So you last saw Carrie, right?
Yes, last week.
She talked to you about...
Blacknell, a 57-year-old retired janitor, is meeting with Rob Malone, a pharmacist at UNC Hospital's Ambulatory Care Clinic. In the last few months, his blood sugar and blood pressure numbers have been creeping up.
Now tell me a little bit about what your sugars have been looking like. Did you bring your machine with you today?
No, I didn't.
Okay. How often are you checking?
I check about 3-4 times a day.
Okay.
Blacknell and Malone think it's probably time to change medications.
Yesterday morning, my sugar was 106. And when I came home last night, it was down to 98. And when I checked it this morning after eat supper and took my medicine again, this morning it was 177.
Even after years of managing his and his wife's diabetes, Blacknell still needs help. This visit with the pharmacist lasted 45 minutes and addressed his weight gain, diet and exercise habits, and changes in medication. Clinic Director Darren DeWalt says it's really important to involve patients in their own care and to break down what they need to know.
As physicians, we can make recommendations, we can prescribe medications, but when it comes to day in and day out management of chronic illness, the patient is in charge, not just of taking medications, but also of self-management behaviors.
DeWalt happens to be a national expert on health literacy. He's worked to make his clinic patient-friendly for all its clients, from UNC professors to farmers from Alamance County. DeWalt wants his patients to be able to use the healthcare system and to understand and act on health information.
Most people who have low health literacy can read and write and can do normal jobs and get along just fine in life. Part of the problem is that health information is so complex. And it's not normal for all of us to be dealing with health information on a daily basis.
Or with any detailed information, written or spoken. A recent federal survey found more than 90 million American adults had below basic or basic literacy skills. The National Adult Assessment of Literacy also examined Americans' health literacy for the first time. It found some 70 million adults possessed at best basic health literacy skills. By definition, that means people lacked the skills to function effectively in the healthcare system. UNC clinic head Darren DeWalt says those people aren't fully able to follow a treatment plan.
Even when you control for things like income and insurance status or race or ethnicity, low health literacy is a very strong predictor for having worse health outcomes, including worse control of chronic illnesses like diabetes or heart failure or HIV control, less receipt of preventive services like immunizations. And, in fact, people with low health literacy are more likely to become hospitalized and die at a faster rate than people with higher health literacy.
And treatment regimens have become so complicated that patients can get easily confused. Gina Upchurch sees that a lot. She heads Senior Pharmacist, a Durham-based program that helps elders with their medications.
We spend a ton of time talking about administration of medications, you know, trying to simplify the regimen. One of the things we often see also is that people have different providers, one person telling them to do one thing, another telling them to do other. One physician a long time ago may have started a medication that would have a drug interaction with a newer medication, but they're hesitant to stop it because another doctor had started it.
Then there are insurance rules. Upchurch says the new senior drug benefit, Medicare Part D, is a perfect example. To start, there are more than 50 plans to choose from in North Carolina.
So Medicare Part D has the patient pays some, the government pays some, you pay a monthly premium to participate, and after you pay a certain amount, say a deductible amount, then the government kicks in and helps you for a while, and then you may get this donut hole or coverage gap.
Even people who know their way around health care say it's difficult to navigate this system when they or someone they love is sick. Susan Yagi runs a program for older patients at Duke. But when it came to her own father, she says it was really hard to figure out what care to get and where to get it.
I started doing a lot of research. What would Medicare cover? What would his Medigap plan cover? What would the VA cover? What were the new Medicare regulations? I couldn't get through to his insurer since I was neither dad nor his doctor, so I couldn't find much out, and found a lot of dead ends.
Part of the problem with health communication is the way medical practitioners talk to their patients, and often don't talk to one another. Psychologist Catherine Fulkerson teaches communication skills to medical students at Duke.
There's a lot of research that indicates that doctors interrupt the patient after only a few seconds and start telling them things. So the first thing we work on is how do you ask really broad questions and let the patient talk and then really listen to the answers. And it turns out that's pretty difficult for doctors to do.
The North Carolina Institute of Medicine just released a report on health literacy, and it says schools training all kinds of health workers should include training on health literacy. Medical schools are beginning to get a clue, although none of the schools in the state are offering more than a few lectures on the subject. The Association of American Medical Colleges is working on recommendations to make sure medical schools get health literacy into their curricula. But many practicing doctors recognize communication between practitioners and patients needs to get a lot better, and soon. Like it or not, says UNC Clinic Director Darren DeWalt, healthcare in this country is changing. The near future will require patients to be a lot savvier than they are now.
We have not arrived in an area where we can present information to people in a way that they can understand it and actually be activated consumers of their health care. And until we come up with more straightforward ways to communicate to people about the health care system and about receiving health care, we'll never have a consumer-driven system.
DeWalt concedes that right now, the system incorporates very few mechanisms to foster that kind of communication. That means many patients still don't know what to do when the office door closes behind them. Rose Hoban, North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.